My guest today is the lovely Carrie Barrett. Carrie Barrett is the founder of Carrie Barrett Inc. And I'm going to tell you what that actually is, because otherwise that would be very... So Carrie teaches entrepreneurs how to be amazing on video. She's a video content expert, and she's got the credentials to back it up. She is a former news anchor here in the lovely Northeast, one of the places I know most news anchors, and we're going to know this. You've probably been around a little bit, probably didn't start in the New York metro area, and a journalist. Carrie, welcome today. How are you?
I'm well, excited to be here. Isn't that what everybody says? What's the alternative? I'm really pissed off that I'm here. I tell everybody, I'm like, don't say that. That's the dumbest thing to start with. What's the alternative? That you're pissed off to be there? No.
Carrie, such a perfect way to start this episode. And by none of this is all improv right now. I do communications coaching and one for a firm, and we have a module and we call it Start With a Scene. And we do this thing where we're like, it's so good to be here today. Good morning. Today we're going to do these things. I'm like, what's the alternative? It's a bad morning. And by the way, when people are like, I'm so glad to be here today. You're like, well, what would be the alternative that you're not glad to be here? And do we know whether it's today? You all suck. I'd really rather be doing anything else. And I am still excited that you're here. And even if you weren't, I would interview you anyway.
Thank you. And I too am excited to be here as well. I just shouldn't say it.
You just shouldn't say it. Do not take this as a sign of Carrie's actual skill as a news anchor, video content expert. She's demonstrating what not to do. It's great.
No, but this was all planned. It was part of my routine. I'm doing a demo.
She's doing a demo. It is true though. This is how most people, like, I'm so excited to be here today and I can't wait to talk to you about da-da-da. I'm like, I don't need any of that. Just like, let's jump into it. Well, let's get into it. How shall we?
Go. We shall.
Carrie. I don't know, Carrie. I feel like you've got some good energy. I feel like you and I are going to, we're going to raise the energy level here today.
Or the FCC is going to shut us down, one or the other.
I will tell you, this is an explicit podcast on Apple. So you do your thing. And I know your kids are in school today and my kids are not here in the office with me. So we're good.
Boom.
All right, Carrie, what's something that you nerd out about?
Something I nerd out about is, well, this is sort of standard, but I do nerd out about helping my clients get confident on camera. That's just one of the different elements of being on camera, creating DIY content for like, again, all the stages of your funnel. Yeah. But the reason I nerd out about that so much is because I used to be really not just terrible at public speaking, but terrified of it, like back of the room, puddle my own vomit. Probably I may have peed in my pants, certainly in the fetal position, hyperventilating, the whole nine. Yeah. And it was a long process to get to the point where I was able to be on. It makes perfect sense that it went into the broadcast news industry, right? Why don't you just get in front of millions of people on live TV every day and broadcast all of your flaws
in the biggest metro network in the country, of course.
In New York City. Yeah, and, of course. And have some success. You know, I've got an Emmy sitting behind me, a couple of them. And so that is the thing I nerd out the most about, because people get, and I include myself in this, we get stuck into these sort of like limiting belief systems. And it's this word, the phrase that's thrown around all the time. But I truly have lived it in a very obvious way and managed to climb out of it intentionally and deliberately, and then created not just a successful news career, but a business on that as well. And so if you were ever in a position where you feel like this is just outside of scope for me, I'm here to tell you that it is not. And I geek out about that big time because it was life-changing for me.
Yeah. I want to give you a compliment right here at the top of the episode, because I love to compliment my guests so that they stay excited the whole time.
Oh yeah.
And this is,
I'm a good performer. So even if I hate it, I'll act like,
you'll be like, oh yeah, it's great. Jason. No,
this
I want
so
to say,
I'm so excited to be here.
So like I was mentioning that I do communications coaching for a firm, and we have a whole module on camera presence. I can tell you know what you're doing because you have an interesting background, but it's not too much. Mm-hmm. You're framed nicely in the camera and you look like you're taking up executive presence in space. You've probably seen this with a lot of your clients where they show up and they're on their laptop and their laptop is like flipped back. And I had the best thing, and you may have heard this, but somebody said that to me. They go, you look like you're at the little kid's table at Thanksgiving. And I said, that's exactly right. These like powerful humans that are like, And I'm like, I can see like your neck up and I see three quarters of your screen is like a bookcase or something. Like, that's not impressive.
Yeah. No. And you know, it's so interesting if I can piggyback off of that. Please. And I appreciate you mentioning it, is that there is often a confidence thing that goes on with being on camera. And it's almost the exact same concept as being like on a stage in front of people in person versus through the lens. And you can tell when somebody is comfortable because they step out from behind the podium, or even if they're not comfortable, they know how to fake it. And they work the stage, which means they show it's confidence, it's authority, it's making sure that everybody in the audience feels like they are being spoken to one-on-one or spoken with. And you understand the stage because it's a concrete thing in front of you. On the camera, it's exactly the same. You have to fill the space. You have to be engaging, but the techniques of doing that are a little bit different. And I think because most people up until the last couple of years have not spent the majority of their professional careers on camera, there's a bit of an aesthetic that goes along with it as well. And if you haven't honed your eye, if you haven't spent time studying about how to be on camera, you don't really understand what that shot with your eyes just peeking over the top of the monitor down in the bottom corner actually looks like, you know? It's not a good look.
No, it's not a good look. I will never forget. And I forgot who said this, like the kid at the Thanksgiving Day table. And I was on a call with a business professional and I'm like, you could not look further away nor less impressive in your current thing. And I actually met this person in real life and they're very impressive. The other thing I want to offer this before we move on, that I'm sure you teach your clients as well, is when you are looking at people on a large Zoom and you want to look at them, you look at the camera, not at them on the screen, especially if you have a big monitor. But like right now you and I are looking at each other because we're looking at the camera with each other. Not, I'm not looking at you actually. I'm looking at my camera, which means
I'm looking at the lens. You see like maybe like sort of a pink blob underneath wherever your lens is on your monitor. And that's sort of it. Can I add a little tip to that? One of the things, and I'm so glad that you mentioned this. So for those of you who are listening and not watching, which I realize is all of you.
Oh, it's a podcast
somewhere. I know. Well, you could do a video one, but that's for another day, Jason.
Yeah, that is for another day.
So if you're on your phone, because you can do these sorts of Zoom calls on your phone, but this is really applicable for a virtual presentation. It's applicable for a live stream. It's applicable for content creation. One of the things that is, again, it seems like it's aesthetic, but it's aesthetic with the reason, is if you are looking at your monitor or your phone and you're not looking at the lens and you're looking down, and like, I get where you're looking at. You're looking at your audience, or there's a slide, or conversely, you're obsessed with your own appearance. And that's okay too, because it's distracting and we see all the flaws. But what that looks like to your audience is that your eyes are sort of darting all over the place and they're looking anywhere but at the lens. And it takes some practice to get used to looking at the lens. So one of the things that I suggest is practicing on your phone, but instead of practicing with the screen of your phone facing toward you, turn it around and practice looking, because you there's nothing to look at on the back of your phone.
I love this.
You have a lens. So look at the lens on the back of your phone and practice talking that way. Now, in order to get the shot right, you'll probably need a couple set or another set of eyes, not a couple of sets, unless you're, you know, I don't know, you have a spider or something helping you, but have somebody look at the screen, which is facing away from you, and say, yes, you're in the screen. There's not a lot of headroom. Everything is set up right. And then talk directly into the lens on the back of your phone. That way you can't look anywhere but that lens, because there's, you're not distracted by anything. And it is good practice for where you should be looking, and you avoid the eyes darting all over the place phenomena, which makes you look scared and skittish and unsure of yourself.
I'm glad you're here, Carrie. I think you just gave us all the value. You gave us
that
the pro
worth
tip.
The price of admission,
that was
wasn't
worth
it?
The price of admission for this video. I mean, sorry, this podcast. For I'm going to go on Carrie's podcast, and she's going to coach me on why I should turn this into a video podcast.
Because you could do so many things with it.
I know, and I have all the video for all my guests too. I know. I'm getting Carrie really riled up. She's like, I'm not so excited to be here, but I'm excited to change this into a video.
No, I need to talk some sense into you.
All right. So that's a good segue here to my next question. I give you 5 minutes and you get to talk to all of us. So not even the millions of people in the Northeast where we are, but you get to talk to the world.
Okay.
What would you speak to us on, and what would be your call to action for us?
What would I speak to the entire world on? Well, I always talk to an audience of one. So I never imagine that there are millions, and sometimes there have been, of people who have seen, not now, but when I was on the news, certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
I would speak to an audience of one. And this message is applicable to everybody, regardless of what stage of life or business or various states of success or head trash or whatever. But the one thing that I would like to talk about is we are all have a certain set of beliefs or values about ourselves. And I touched on this a little bit when we first started, Jason, and I allowed myself to get painted into a box for a very long time. Now, sometimes I was the one holding the paintbrush. Very often I was the one who was holding the paintbrush, but I took that paintbrush from other people and continued their work in many cases. And there were many, many painful years. There were a couple of painful decades, as a matter of fact, where I sought external validation. I went down a lot of bad roads. I could detail plenty of them for you. I made choices based out of fear and what I think was expected. And I know I'm talking a little bit high level, but for me, the way that played out was I tried to be everything to everyone. And I did a little bit of that in my business too, when I first started, and I always wanted to be liked. And excuse me, when I finally was able not to completely set aside that compunction, but to make decisions that were not based on it, to recognize rationally, that's your fear talking. And if you follow it, you're going to keep going down this wrong path. So I want you to do the counterintuitive. And I know that we talk a lot about making choices and decisions based on feelings. Sorry, I just hit my microphone. Did you hear that?
I did. That's good.
Let me
start over. We like authenticity here. No, we're good.
I'm going to give you an edit opportunity. We talk a lot about making decisions based on feelings and trusting our gut instinct. And that is valuable and it is viable. However, it really only serves you if you are in a healthy state or if you are in a healthy place, because your feelings are not, teachers, they're guidelines. And what you want to do often has to start up here. It has to be deliberate and it has to be intentional. And learning how to balance here, that means your head is what I'm pointing to, for those of you who can't see me, which again is all of you, and your heart, combining the two and making solid decisions from there. They could be risky, but they're calculated risk and they take into account what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your head. But I made a lot of decisions based on what was going on in my heart. I was not at a healthy place when I did so. And I had to recognize all that like pop culture stuff. Trust this, do that. It only works if you are in a healthy state.
That's right.
I would suggest a lot of us, especially after the last 2 years, are in a state of turmoil. We are in a state of flux. What we expected and trusted about the world or our families or our businesses has been turned on its head. So use both of those parts of yourself when you're making your decisions and figuring out what's next.
Yeah, I love that, Carrie. So my next question here before we go to the commercial break is, you are a parent. Mm-hmm. So how do you talk to your kids about this if you are talking to them about this yet?
I just the way that I just did. So my middle guy is 7, my little guy's 5. So we're not quite at this level, but my daughter is 11 and a half almost now.
Yeah.
And we're getting into the things
that happen at about that age.
Yeah.
And I talk to her in exactly the same way as I'm talking to you. I mean, I may use different experiences, but she knows that I've made mistakes. Okay. And she knows that I've sought external validation. And she knows that it took me a long time to dig out of the holes that I put myself in with the help of some other people. But I certainly was more than willing to pick up a shovel and dig.
Yeah.
And in the exact same way, because I would hate to see, our kids are going to make mistakes. I was about to go down that like typical parent thing. Like, I don't want her to make mistakes that I did. She's going to make some of them, but I don't want her to take 2 decades to recover from them.
You're looking to shorten the trauma for your kids.
Let's compress that a little bit.
Compress the trauma. Your call to action is parents. If parents compress the trauma for your children, that's the call to action. Compress
the trauma, baby. Yeah.
That's it. Just
muscle through.
Thanks, Carrie.
That's facetious. That's not the right thing.
Yeah. Thanks, Carrie. We're going to go to a brief commercial break. We'll be right back.
The Talking to Cool People podcast is brought to you by Jason Frizzell Coaching. Jason works with amazing people who are looking to find and develop their passion and purpose and create their journey to wherever it is they want to go. Check us out at jasonfrizzell.com, Facebook, or on Instagram. Jason loves hearing from anyone who thinks it would be cool to connect, to be coached, or to be a guest on our show. Email him at podcast@jasonfrizzell.com or DM him on Facebook and Instagram. And now, back to some more amazing conversation on Talking to Cool People.
All right, Carrie, we're back.
Hello.
compress the trauma. That's the new tagline.
Compress the drama. If we had hashtags back when I was a teenager, that would have been mine.
That'd have been yours. But you're like, I can either compress this trauma or I can expand it greatly for decades.
Who wouldn't want to live in this world of darkness and depression for 2 decades?
Fabulous. All right. It's Carrie.
Yeah.
We know a few things about you. We know you're a parent because I spilled the beans there. You're an Emmy-winning journalist. You run your own company now. You believe this is a video podcast. Still, we know that.
I do. I keep like making the mistake, but
it's not a mistake. It's just, I feel like you're mad about the manifesting.
Subtle hint to you, Jason.
Yeah, I feel like Carrie, you're about to manifest something. I'm like, I have a special announcement for this one episode. This is the test episode.
Excellent.
What else do you want us to know about you?
What else would I want you to know about me? That's the classic delay answer response. I just repeat the question back and it gives you a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. What would I want people to know about me? Well, I grew up overseas. Okay. And the reason that I mention that is I do think it inspired my interest in learning about different people, understanding their stories, which goes back to, you know, where I eventually went in my professional career, which was a journalist, a broadcast mm-hmm. news anchor, and then taking that element and also applying it to the way that I work with clients now. So, I mean, I'm interested in what they're doing, why they're doing it, their storyline, not only for us working together, but also the ways that can be incorporated into content that they're producing. So I traveled a lot. I absolutely love to travel. I have not done a lot of it, but I'm going on a volunteer trip with my daughter to Africa this summer for 2 weeks.
Cool.
With a client of mine who runs a nonprofit there. We're actually going to be, working in a rural community, and we're helping the kids understand about gender equality through sports. My client's a former Olympian, so she's very got a cool lot of experience in that. Yeah.
Very cool.
What else do I, what else should you know about me? I started my business. This is something that's, I think, relatively interesting. I started my business with zero business experience. When I started and I would go to networking meetings and they would ask me how I was going to scale, I'd pull out my phone and like Google very quickly, like, what does scale mean? I'm like, I have no flipping idea what you're asking me. And I never worked with any of those people because they didn't understand my journey. They didn't understand my story. They wanted to work with me, but I'm like, you don't even know what I know and how little I know, and you're not speaking my language. So talking to your audience, I think is that applies whether you're in business, whether you're creating content, whether you're pitching a client, whether you're talking to a boss, whether you're talking to a colleague, know your audience. That was sort of a detour there about what else is interesting about me. What else is interesting about me? I was one time mistaken for a campground hooker in Alaska. Is that interesting?
Wait, not only a hooker, but a camp. Is that a
campground
thing?
Hooker? Yeah,
so that's a specific type of hooker that goes to campgrounds.
It's a hooker
only?
That goes around to campgrounds, which is apparently a thing
in Alaska.
In Alaska, yep.
That is a. I will tell you, I've you know, this will probably be episode 140 or so. The first time I've heard about campground hookers in Alaska on my show.
Well, listen, now you've got double the price of admission.
We've got the pro tip around looking at your iPhone, and we found out some things, but
yep.
All good things, Carrie. Thank you. And now I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous to give you the hosting rights here, since you are quite experienced. And this is the part of the show where you get to ask me anything. And we know each other a little bit, but not that well. So I really have no idea what's coming. And what is it that you'd like to ask me that I can answer for everybody listening and for you?
I have no idea what's coming either. So get ready.
Get a deep breath. I'm looking away from the camera.
Listen, tell me a little bit about how you got started, what you're doing. I'm curious because you're actually really good on camera.
Thank you.
How did you get to where you are?
How did I get to where I was? So I was going to ask you what the question was, because you said you did a report. You're like, tell me about this. I'm like, that's a request or a demand, not a question. Yeah.
Sorry, not a question.
All good.
I did follow up though.
No, you did. Good journalist. Yeah, this is an interesting question. So I spent 20 years in sales. I'm going to give you a tiny bit of the background and then how I got here.
Okay.
I spent 20 years in sales.
Uh-huh.
When I, about 3 years ago, I was bored with my life, my corporate life, and I hired a coach. And this was like not a coach to teach you how to do things. This is a coach who like got you into your head and your heart. Like you said, we did both.
Yeah.
Called life coaching. She's like an executive coach, more like an executive coach, but anybody who's ever worked with a good executive coach knows that you end up talking about personal things anyway, because
absolutely,
we're human beings. We're human beings, and where we do it one place, where we do it everywhere. And through working with her, I realized that what I wanted to do was get into this work, and I wasn't exactly sure. So I went and I did some public speaking training. Then I went through a year-long coach training. And in the middle of that coach training, I went for my little side hustle. You know, you probably did a little side hustle when you started, to, hey, I'm going to do this full time, started working with people. And then over time, and at the same time, I started this podcast for anybody listening who wants to get better at communicating, being a podcast host or guest is a great way to practice your craft in a very low stakes environment.
So, yes. And then after that comes live video. Holy crap. You will get really good, really quick.
You can practice. Get rid of some of the ums and the ahs, get rid of the basically's. Yep. And it's not perfect. I still use those as well. We all do.
They're not deal breakers.
It's our humanity. I can usually get rid of all my weak language when I'm speaking in front of a bunch of people, which this is speaking in front of a bunch of people. And I listened to an episode. Like, I said like about 26 times. And
that's fine.
Minutes.
I've probably said close to it.
And yes,
I wasn't counting.
No. And I'm not counting either.
27, 28. No.
And with all that, the reason I'm decent on camera is because I put my thought and energy into it.
Yeah.
So one, I train on it. I think I mentioned this before. I'm a coach at a company called Life Hikes. Mm-hmm. We do executive presence. And you know this, Carrie, this stuff isn't rocket science. Being good on camera is not rocket science. And also I have a high level of confidence. So I have no problem getting on and just doing it.
Yeah.
I know, you know, from speaking to you in the past, I think one of the amazing things you do is it's not just, oh, here's the technology and here's the tactics. It's actually what's going on inside.
Yeah.
I don't have any of the what's going on inside for me. I do Toastmasters. I love speaking.
Do that mean
I'm
everything
extrovert.
Like from top to bottom, there's nothing going on inside?
There's not. I'm dead inside, which is why I can show up anywhere. This is all just a hollow shell. of nothingness from of top AI. To bottom of AI. Yeah, this is actually an art. This is actually in the metaverse right now.
Sorry.
No, it's interesting. Well, the other thing I will say, and I've shared this on the podcast a few times, one of the biggest game changers for me, and my guess is you've either done this work or from just being on camera, you just don't care in a good way anymore. Improv is one of the best things you can possibly do to get over yourself. Have you ever done any improv?
I have done improv. I
can tell.
Improv when I first started anchoring. And the truth is, even if I didn't take it, if you're doing live coverage for 6 hours straight from the anchor desk, you are, the whole dang thing is improv.
Exactly.
So you're in a baptism by fire. Yep.
I'll leave with this. At Life Hikes, the module we do this, we call it the Get Over Yourself module. And it's written really well. So it's, hey, I can give you one of two options. Number one, I can give you techniques and strategies to not be nervous anymore.
Yeah.
After you've already spoken.
Yeah.
Number two, I can give you something right now that's going to likely shift how you think of this. And most people go, you know, we do these in groups. Most people pick number two. Number two, get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about the audience. Like you said, you're speaking to the audience one, but then the second part that we do that I like even better is, oh, but Jason, I'm worried about being judged. You are being judged.
You're totally being judged.
Everybody's going to judge you. Oh, well. Number three, whatever feels so for you and I, we're here in this episode. We're talking about things we think were cool. The people listening have a million other things going on. This is not the most important part of their day.
That's not true.
Well, now that you're on, it is. But
of course, it's true. Yeah, 100%.
But you know, like, watching a keynote speaker. Am I focused for 1 hour on every word that person says? No, I'm thinking about my finances and my business and my kids and my podcast. And you're thinking about all these things. So all those things, I've just learned to do that to get over myself. And the thing that I have. That's a unique skill set that my friend Laura, who was on the episode on Lauren Bayron about a month ago, that said, I have a unique combination of, there's a weak language. I'm not a perfectionist and I'm not afraid to try things, which is a really good combination for things like speaking, podcasting. Yeah. I actually don't have a lot of fear of it because I know it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Nobody's going to turn away because you screwed something up.
No.
You call that a personality showcase.
I learned a new term, personality showcase.
That's what I always used to reframe when I would make an error on the news, you know, and you could let it crush you because you'd get people.
Oh, I'm sure.
Out of the woodwork on Twitter, you know, you're such an idiot. Your blonde hair is real. It's not, by the way, like all sorts of stuff. And what I eventually reframed errors into was personality showcases. And if the barring something serious that I was talking about, if it was a mistake and the story around it was lighthearted or there was some levity to it, I would turn it into an opportunity to try and endear the audience to our show or to me or to whatever was going on and then move on. It's a personality showcase to be handled.
Personality showcase. I love that. Thank you, Carrie. That was not as painful as I expected.
My question to you?
It wasn't painful. You're like, you're so like, now.
Look at that. We're out of time.
You're like, next question for you, Jason. We're going to go deep here. Nope. This is my show. Give me that back. I have imposter syndrome.
You never hand your mic over. That's lesson number like four. You don't ever give your mic to anybody who asks for it.
I will say this. You're the first guest that I think that might actually be true. I haven't interviewed any news anchors before. So this is,
I only learned that from like reporting on the street. If I was at some place and like, I would ask tell me what you saw. And they would go to grab the mic and I'd be like, no, that's not going
to
go well.
You're like, I'm going to pull this back whenever I want, because I have no idea what you're about to say. All right.
Exactly.
So what's the thing that you are most proud of?
The thing that I am most proud of, I did it again. I repeated the question back to buy some time.
You're very well trained. I like it.
The thing, is it going to sound cheesy if I say my kids? That is Is it cheesy? Oh, I saw you roll your eyes.
No, not
well, those of you who are listening didn't see it, but he did. He rolled his eyes.
I'm gonna tell you why I rolled my eyes.
Okay.
Because every single parent I have on this show, it's a lot.
Do they say
their
that?
Family? Everybody. Yeah. That's what I would say. Everybody yeah. who's not a parent, it runs the gamut.
Okay. So hold on a second. I'm going to backtrack that. If you're talking about my personal life, I will say my kids, because I did not have a great childhood. I had a lot of, my family was wildly dysfunctional, and I could go on at length about that, but I feel like I'm not perfect. I beat myself up a lot about it. But I have, I think, broken that cycle that was present nice. For generations in my own family. And I think the second part of that statement is I was able to break the cycle of depression and low self-esteem that ran in my family. And I've been able to apply that to my professional life as well. I mean, when I told you that I didn't know how to start a business, I truly mean like I didn't know squat about yeah. squat. All I did was I started my LinkedIn account when I first started my business, which was, I don't know, 2.5-ish years ago, right before the pandemic. Good yeah. timing. And all I did was put myself out there every day by creating a small video on LinkedIn about something about public. I didn't even yeah. know what my business was going to be. Public yeah. speaking, putting together face to head, you know, camera talking head video, live video. And slowly but surely, I began to piece together what are people interested in? What can I offer that is of service and is of help and can have an impact? And that process, that arc, if you will, and I'm certainly not at the end of it. And there have been many bumps and dips up and down in that arc, but I am crazy proud of. Let me bring up a quote. I read a quote this morning on Twitter by the founder of, oh my God, it'll come to me. But anyway, he had a tweet that said, entrepreneurship is for people who will do things most people won't for a few years to live a life that most people can't forever.
I love that. And
I'm like, holy.
That's yeah. so true.
If I had thought about what this would have meant for the first 2.5 or 3 years, it would have been terrifying, but I didn't deeply anyway. I pieced it together and I figured it out, and damn, I'm proud of it.
And now you get to be on big video podcasts. Podcasts like this one.
I mean, listen, it's like, it's right up there with NBC.
It's close. This is kind of the same thing. No, that's awesome, Carrie. Now that's been my experience of running my own business yeah. as well, is sometimes. And I think one of the things that I'm guessing that you coach people on also is just keep doing what you're doing, because it can feel like you're shouting into an abyss.
There's nothing more frustrating than putting something out there and having crickets. And it happens to all of us.
Totally.
And there would be, yeah, listen, you've been there. There are nights you're waking up in the middle and you're like in a cold sweat. And you're like, I know it's 2 a.m, but I need a tequila shot, because if I don't take one, I'm not going to be able to fall back asleep. Like, I'm having a moment. And I've had more of those than I care to admit. That said, I am really excited when Monday rolls around, and it's yeah. been 20 years since I've been able to say that. So
that's congratulations. That is a very cool place to be.
Yeah. And likewise.
And it also makes a big difference for your family to see parents that are, wow, it's actually possible to do meaningful work that makes a difference, and you have joy doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats.
And stress, but joy, mostly
stress
joy.
And joy. Yeah, stress.
Listen,
and joy.
I wouldn't have been able to take my daughter on that volunteer trip to Africa working in the news industry. I mean, no. I just would never have been able to happen.
And now you're going to be able to create video content while you're over there and use it for your business.
Listen, you know exactly where I'm at when it comes to that.
I know it's not exactly. Really about- yeah, I know exactly what you're going to be doing.
You do it for the gram.
Carrie is going to be on the back of an elephant. He's like, we're doing a service project for this thing. And also, I'm getting some killer video content.
Like and share, please.
Yeah. Business expense. Business expense.
Yeah.
All right. So, Carrie, what's something that you're afraid might actually be true about you?
something that I'm afraid that might actually be true about me is that I am, God, I always say, don't give people the questions to your podcast before you bring them on. I would have reversed that advice. Something that I'm afraid about me that I am afraid that I'll never be truly satisfied. Mm. That's also true. I think that comes with entrepreneurship. I think that comes with people who are inherently driven. And sometimes I question whether my drive is based on just desire for like success and impact and changing, you know, my family's dynamic, or if it's based on still like an internal sense of I just still don't feel quite worthy yet. And yeah. I would probably say it's a combination of the two.
Yeah. I would say that would make you a very normal human being.
Okay, good.
Some ego based thing, some wanted to change the world. Yeah. I would think that would make you very normal. And I'm just going to say it. I now have Hamilton satisfied in my head.
Hamilton. I've never.
There's a song called Satisfied. Have you heard the music?
No.
I'll send you the song. I'll send you the song. It's a great song. And it's about how one of the women can never be satisfied.
Oh, what are we talking about here?
Not in that way. Just like, they're just, yeah, they're always wanting more.
I figured that. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know,
inappropriate. Listen, I've been in the newsroom for years. You can only imagine what I encountered.
I feel like I would do well in the newsroom.
You probably would. Well, you know what? So did Matt Lauer. So I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's yeah.
And Bill He's O'Reilly and Charlie Rose, yeah, and Roger Ailes. And
I'm actually interviewing Matt after you. So I'll bring it up to him and see. Yeah.
Hey, tell him I said hi.
I will say, hey, you know, Carrie Barrett. Yeah. She said that you had a lot of fun for a while and then it didn't go so well at the end.
God, it's so awful.
That would be awful and really funny. All right, Carrie. So let's talk for a couple minutes about what you're up to, what you do. How can people connect with you?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I teach business owners, coaches, consultants, course creators, which is super big industry right now, especially after coming out of the pandemic, or still sort of coming out of, I don't know where we are actually, to be honest with you. We're going in and out. But I teach all of those groups how to create standout DIY video, marketing video, social media content, webinars, video newsletters, marketing video, and then leverage them for their full effect. Video has a great ROI, but yeah, not many people have the time and the tech down, meaning they don't have a system, so it takes forever. They don't understand the tech. You don't need a lot of tech. You need a phone, a face, and a voice. That's it. And then they don't know what makes good content. A lot of the talking head video that we see, which is perfectly acceptable and it should be there. It's great for landing pages. It's great for emails. It's great for anticipation, you know, thought leadership pieces, yeah, but very often it's boring and people don't know how to fully leverage it. And they don't understand video for different stages of the funnel, like video for social media. That's, you're inviting people to the party. It's got to be interesting. It's got to be engaging. It's how you grow your following. And then your goal is to take these people who are up here, right at the top of your funnel, and move them into the next stages, getting them on your email list through your newsletters or tips and tricks that you're posting on your vlog or a challenge or a boot camp that you're having. And then at the very bottom of that funnel, for a lot of people, depending on the price of their offer, is live video. Live video is hands down the greatest way to take people who are already interested in you and what you have to offer, build trust, create fans, and sell. And if you could do one live stream, then you have content for a month with the repurposing opportunity. In fact, I have a boot camp coming up in May that is a 2-day boot camp. It's a live boot camp. And we go through the 6 simple steps to create 1 month of content from a 60-minute live stream. So how do you do it? How do you interview? How do you repurpose? And how do you use it to sell and grow?
I feel like I need some validation from you here at the end of the episode, Carrie, because I felt like I've been letting you down as a video person. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a LinkedIn Live this Wednesday with a friend of mine. We're doing it on extroversion and introversion. Okay. I am taking that video. I'm chopping it up. I'm doing some stuff with it. And I'm also taking the audio and creating a podcast episode out of it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Do I get a little bit of validation from you?
100%. Can I offer you an additional thought on that?
Please.
Aside from doing the live and then turning it into a podcast, I would do some Q&A at the end only, not throughout. The reason at the end is it just makes it easier for editing. And then you can take those questions and that you answer live, and you can use those for other social media posts. You can use those for FAQs. You can use them for inspiration, for topics for other episodes. And then you should ask people on your live to either text you or send you a video of sort of their aha moment, like their takeaway. And then you should capture those texts and those videos and use them as social proof.
This is what it's like to work with Carrie, obviously. I was like, I'm going to do this thing. You're like, here's four other ideas. I'm going to use all that.
Go for Thank you, Carrie. I can't wait to, I'm going to watch.
Yeah, 8 a.m. on LinkedIn Live.
I'll heckle you from the virtual crowd.
Please heckle me from the virtual crowd. I love being heckled. Carrie, last thing for us. Please leave us with some short and sweet Instagram-worthy words of wisdom.
Instagram worthy word. I'm doing that repetition thing a lot, aren't I? Instagram words of wisdom. Thank your haters. I did a post on this on LinkedIn not too long ago. And if you check it out, you will read the story behind it. But every single rejection, every single bully, every single instance of, man, I have to dig my way out of whatever this challenge, obstacle, hardship is, every single one of them have made me the person who I am. They were not pleasant at the time. They were not, I certainly didn't like going through them when I was in the thick of them, but it's really easy to say, I can do this, I can do that, I'm this person, I'm that person, if you haven't been fully tested. And those haters will test your self-worth. They will test your determination. They will expose blind spots and weaknesses that you didn't realize you have. And all of those things make you a better person. They are, in fact, how you win life.
Yeah. And most of the haters are the people who aren't actually doing any of the work themselves.
My thought is, and it's funny, I did a post about this not too long ago either. Trolls always punch up. They always
Of course.
They never punch down.
No.
Because it's ridiculous. They punch up because they are upset at watching people do the things that they wish they could do.
And oh, absolutely.
Recognize that. And it does go back to that, you know, kindergarten playground bully crap that we read about, but I've not seen in 25 years on camera, including my own business, I have not seen a single instance where that does not apply.
No. Carrie, thank you so much for being on today. It was a blast. I can't wait to have you back on again. I think we may have to do a video.
I was really excited to be here.
Carrie was very excited to be here. And this may be my first video podcast because I feel like she's going to email me afterwards and be like, bro, you better make this happen. Thank you so much, Carrie. Keep up the good work.
It was a pleasure.
All the things you just shared are going to be in the show notes. Check out Carrie, all the things you're up to. And you have a launch coming up too. So we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Appreciate it much, Jason.
Thanks, Carrie.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Talking to Cool People with Jason Frizzell. If you enjoyed today's episode, please tell your friends. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and give us a shout out, or take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. If something from today's episode piqued your interest and you'd like to connect, email us at podcast@jasonfrizzell.com. We love hearing from our listeners because you're cool people too.